So, Cerise, something's different. Something is different. I don't know if we've announced this before, but Cerise has entered the School of Ministry. It just is different. Everything about it felt really different this day. So welcome. You know, I was told that the School of Ministry is just something to keep us busy while we are becoming, but I think you have became already. Something really significant there. Wasn't that magnificent? Woo! Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm really happy to be here again this morning. You know, the West Valley is where we come together to be blessed and inspired and grateful and therefore big for God in the ways in which we stand in that great truth that the givingness, the grace of God is just pouring into our lives. And well, that was just the most exquisite demonstration of that by way of voice. And so I am talking this morning on this idea of the probing mind. I had this thought that it's always amusing to me when I look for the next week's title. It's like sometimes I tickle myself. But the probing mind for me is the mind that dares to explore new ideas. And I'm sort of harping about that a lot. I have really felt, I think it's so significant that we are celebrating 100 years of this particular teaching, and that it feels to me like it's more relevant than it has ever been before, that we have a message, we have a voice that the world is hungry for, we become this sweet space for people of all faiths to come and join us in a spiritual discussion, in spiritual inquiry. And that's what I want us to look at this day. I think the mind that dares to explore new ideas is a mind that is ripe for expansion and for new possibility. So being curious in every way that I look at this idea of curiosity is like tilling the earth before you put seeds in the garden. It's like the way we take a mulch, if you're an organic gardener and you create your own mulch, and then you put that in the soil to make it richer. So what we're doing is we're taking old stuff, organic old stuff that used to be that has naturally decayed, and now it has some fertility to it. It adds something rich to the soil to grow. And that's how our lives are. That's how our lives are. That you could say that our experiences in life are often like that organic mulching away of things that deteriorate or break down so that it can be used to anchor us in a nutritious sort of way of looking to the future. Everything that we experience adds more value to what's possible for us. So the only way to expand, to stretch our minds, to shift our consciousness, to transform our lives, here's how I was thinking of it. I was thinking that it is only the probing mind that then can lead us to living a spiritually rich and prosperous life. And I wanted to create a message this morning that will tie in with the prosperity program that we're kicking off tomorrow. So, and the details of that are all in your program, and Reverend Clyde's been doing a good job of inviting you in. I'm really excited about it because it's an exquisite opportunity for us to play in technology in a really practical way. It'll be the first time we're offering a class or a sort of a group discussion activity where you don't have to leave your house, where you can do it from home, and it's got so much great potential, and I'm really excited about Judy Baker and Reverend Clyde teaming up to do it together. So what we know is that as we study this idea of abundance and prosperity, that we're not just talking about finances. We're talking about a general state of well-being. And in fact, the only way to ever expand our lives or to stretch and grow is to be open enough to the information that we don't have in our lives yet, you know? So we grow, we get, hopefully we get wiser as we age and allow our experiences to accumulate. We transform our lives again and again. And there's this way in which we all have, and it's kind of always ongoing, which is the beautiful part about life. For me, it validates the eternality of life itself when I think about it like this. But it's like we always have this growing edge. It's like, well, I know this much. And you know what happens? The more you start learning, the more you realize, oh, wow, there is so much more I really want to know. There's so much I don't know still. So there's always sort of this growing edge. And so we need to be open and curious, have that experience of a probing mind or a willingness to explore new ideas so that we can keep growing and changing. And that we can therefore keep things on this planet moving forward in an expectation of change for the better. So what we know is information helps us see the world bigger. Information has helped us to see how interconnected we are. I think the World Wide Web has shown us the way that we really are all connected, and then it really ripples out in this great way, and that you don't have to go too far from home to find that we are really interrelated and having the same human experience in our own unique individualized way of expressing all of that. So think about this. I got my first computer in 1995. I got my first PC. And it had those little disks, you know, those floppy disks that we thought were so cool. And I remember calling one of my cousins, who was kind of a nerdy computer kind of guy anyhow, and he said, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to take a class and you need to figure out some skills here. You need to figure out some tricks. So he taught me over the phone in a simple conversation, he taught me how to highlight some information. If I'm in Word, I could highlight information and that I could move it around. And he taught me to do Control C to copy, and then you drag it down to, you don't even drag it. Well, anyhow, he taught me Control C and Control V, how you cut and you paste, you can move it. And that was such an important thing to know. It was like my entire world changed. I was still typing papers I was doing my undergrad work at the time. I was still typing, and, you know, you make a mistake, you have to type the whole sheet again, you know? So, boy, did that open the door for me to have a greater experience of what was possible in the way that I wanted to use my computer. I think that the other fun thing for me right now, especially right now in the last few months, is that I'm having to be a little more handy around the house than I've had to be in the past, you know? I have to figure out how to fix things. I've been talking to all my single girlfriends that live alone, and they know they're not afraid of stuff like I am. And what I've learned is that you can Google and look for a YouTube on just about anything you need to do in your home or your life or on the car or whatever. So I don't choose to do all of that. I'm grateful for the people that I can still call on to help me with some things. I unplugged the drain in the front sink in the bathroom because I know, right? It was really good. And I know how to unclog a sink. I just didn't know how to get that stopper thing out of the bottom of the sink, you know? And it was tricky, and I figured out I had to get under there, and there was a little piece I could move. And then, you know, I did it, and then it was so exciting that I did it. My husband was sitting in his chair going, "My wife, the plumber." You know, it was really quite sweet. So The information is there. In fact, we are living in a time where there is a wealth of information, no matter what it is that we would like to study and learn. And then anytime we learn a new skill, our world becomes bigger. And then if there's something that we want to master, we practice that new skill until we develop confidence at it and we become very competent at whatever it is we desire to do. Cerise was also just saying she's taking piano lessons also, in addition to all the other busy things on her plate. She has three children, you know, young children. So when we grow in such ways, we're less limited. Can you see how I feel less limited? Like, I'm smarter. I know how to do a couple things I didn't used to know a few months ago. And that then gives us a sense of greater freedom. And what I believe is that everything about the spiritual path is about developing a greater sense of freedom, a greater experience of not being limited or bound by life or the world or the current events or whatever is unfolding in our little circle of reality. But before we can grow, we need to be willing to wonder what's possible. So that's a really good question. You know, I think that it's evident to me that human beings are born with this instinct for inquiry. Right? You know, what happens with a baby? A baby is, you can put the baby down on a blanket for a little while, you know. And then the baby gets to a point where he wants to explore, wants to go get to new territory, starts learning to scoot or crawl because there's something over there he wants to put in his mouth, you know? You know how babies are. And then they learn to walk, and they learn to climb, and sometimes they learn how to, any of you, this happened to me with my son, got right out of that crib before he could even walk, he could climb out of that crib. And so there's this instinct to want to have this adventure of exploration, to make our worlds larger than they are. I've had a lot of medical professional people in my life. I'm so grateful, never before as grateful as I am now. And what I notice with nurses and doctors is that they have some love, some passion for what they do. So they take something that they instinctually feel comfortable with, I do not, and they use their God-given gifts. They study and they learn skills, and they're able to then, because at some point in their life they had a fascination with the healing ability of the human body, they are able to do wonderful things, to work with the human body to get it to restored to a sense of wholeness and wellness. So I think we could take that even in a more relatable way to the way that many of us here found this teaching, because we were curious about spirituality and about what else is possible beyond the walls of traditional religions. So there is a certain gift that comes with being open-minded, with having an openness while we're seeking, while we are looking to be fed spiritually, to have a close relationship with God in a way that works for us. And that is a little bit different for each and every person. So, what are some of the things that you wonder about? I want you to think about that for a moment. What are some of the things that you have wondered about in your own experience of living, and especially in spirituality? Do you ever wonder about God? I think sometimes we're afraid to do that it feels sacrilegious. And I think it's really important to wonder again and again and again, what do I believe about God? Because as I grow, as I pull in more knowledge, as I deepen my personal spiritual practice, my relationship with God changes all the time. And so there's something in us, I think, that desires that communion, that sense of connection, that way to really see what do I really believe, that there's this infinite intelligence of all the universe, and it is everywhere present all the time. It is all-knowing. It has no beginning, it has no end, and it is all-powerful. So wonder about that stuff. Stand in that place of being curious. Can you reimagine what you have believed so that you can have a greater and greater concept of God and of what's possible in this spiritual relationship that we have with life? I just love that idea that our God has been too small. Our God has been too small, and it's time for us to really find that safe way to give ourselves permission to have that probing mind so that when we look at this idea of abundance or prosperity, that we're looking at the well-being of our life in many, many ways. Wonderment can lead you to living a fulfilling life. Because as Joseph Campbell once said, it then becomes about following your bliss. You know, noticing what excites me about life. Where do I want to be putting my energy now? Every great invention, everything that's ever been invented or thought of or discovered came from some cross point. I was pondering this. This is my definition. I just made this up just yesterday. Just made this up. It's a Karenism, but I think it's a real good one. Chris, write this down. I was thinking that every great invention comes from some intersecting point, some cross point of desire, a need, and curiosity. So if we put those three things together, desire and need and curiosity, new ideas will be born because it is inherent in the way that we are created to be creative beings. So all the information we need is out there, but when those three things come together, something can happen that changes life. That expands our life, that transforms our consciousness. It's all about unimagined possibilities, I think. So think about this, you know, for thousands of years, there were people who probably watched the birds soar in the sky and wondered, wow, what would that feel like to fly? And years go by, and people are more and more curious, and we study aerodynamics, and now we have flight that is so common that we can travel anywhere with very little effort. What if there weren't curious people that dared to imagine maybe the world is not flat? How small would the world seem to be if that had not happened? Or people that, in the pioneer days, people that wondered what was on the other side of that mountain, and can we get across that mountain somehow? So all of this takes that spirit of an open mind, a willingness, a curiosity, and then some determination. I found this beautiful quote this week. Some of you are going to recognize this quote, but I don't recognize the guy's name. Frederick Buchner said, "The place God calls you to is that place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." The place of your deep gladness, what makes you glad? What gives you joy? Where in life do you just know you're right on track? And when we can take that and we can put it in that place of something that is really needed on this planet, or in our lives or in our spiritual community, when we can take what we have and we can share our gifts, then something magnificent happens from that. And I think that is why we love those stories so much. We love those stories of people that tap into whatever that certain gift is. I was watching a Super Soul Sunday. I record them so I can watch them when I want. And there was this guy who was talking about giving up a high-paying job on Wall Street to teach inner-city kids, and how happy and fulfilled he was. I think it's why we like stories like that. It's why we really get excited about hearing about families that are willing to adopt kids with special needs. It's the way we take what we know we've got and we apply it in a really good way. Our deep gladness meets the world's needs. And we are born to do this. This is who we are by the very nature of being a part of humanity. So let's talk about this a minute. This is giving and receiving. It has to be a flow. It has to be a movement of both giving and receiving. And when we begin to understand this in terms of spiritual matters, we see that there is a spiritual law of prosperity. There is a spiritual principle of abundance. And it's not about how much money you have, how you spend your money or don't spend your money, how you save. It has nothing to do with that. Although, when we begin to make the connection, you will notice that your relationship to money will change because it's nothing more than an energy we put around it. So we all have this opportunity to get to the point where we realize it's not about acquisition. It's not about more. It's not about stuff. Nothing we acquire outside of ourselves is ever going to make us feel safer or more secure in life. Not even a new alarm system for your home to protect all your valuables, right? Because security is an inside job. It's up to us to recognize the greater truths and to practice our faith and to pull this all together into a way of life for us. So it's only when we become aware of the kingdom within, when we become aware of the power that we are connected to that is greater than we are, that we begin to have some sense of being divinely protected, divinely guided. I like to say carried sweetly in the hands of God. That's so often comforting to me. And, you know, the thing is that the best, you know, the best time to learn that lesson is when you're going through something hard or when you're feeling really limited in some way and you feel like you don't have anything to give. Because that's when we dive deep. I like the words to this song Cerise just sang. That is when we dive really deep and we recognize that within us is this reservoir of goodness that is untouched, waiting to be called forth onto this planet. And because we do say that we are individualized expressions of the divine, your gift will not be my gift. What is being called forth from me will look like me or something I would do or maybe even not do. But it will be called forth from me and yours will be called forth from you. It's a matter of faith. It's an experience we develop by cultivating a feeling of prosperity, of being prosperous. In fact, abundance is one of our 10 core concepts. One of our 10 core concepts. I found a really good definition of abundance from Reverend Jesse Jennings. who, as many of you know, is one of my favorite religious science ministers. He's in Texas, and he writes in the back of our Science of Mind magazine. He writes the questions and answers. And I'm always hungry to see what people ask him and to see how he responds and applies this philosophy to real life stuff. And Reverend Jesse Jennings said that abundance is the feeling, do not miss this, it is the feeling of having your needs easily and naturally met, and then living your life from that healing place. So when I'm really clear and I know what I believe, I never worry about not having enough, right? Because there's something else moving in me that knows I always have enough no matter what. So, you know, that's why we say be grateful, count your blessings, you know, use this stuff, tap into that untouched reservoir. When I was a little girl, I used to think that I loved music, and when I was like junior high age, maybe preteen age, my dad had a radio with speakers on our patio, and my mom and dad liked to listen to like the top 40 music, and in Los Angeles that would have been, see if this stirs your memory, KHJ, KRLA, and KFWB. Yep, KFWB, Channel 9, nobody knows that but me. Well, you should sing with me then, you know I don't sing very well alone. Okay, moving on quickly. Maybe you have to be from LA to know those. But anyhow, we had music, and I figured out that I really, really liked music, that it did something to me, that it made me feel good inside and or moody or whatever. And I liked it, but I had a real concern that by the time I was a teenager, where I intended to be in my prime for appreciating music, that all the music would run out. That they would have made all the great songs that ever could be created, because I just, as a child, I could not have any actual understanding of infinitude, right? And I think it's a really good illustration that we, as human beings living in finite form, really cannot understand fully what when we talk about the infiniteness of creation, you know, that's just difficult for us to wrap our little minds around. So then, you know, you get a little older, and I realize now that there's rhythm, and there's melody, and there's lyrics, and there's beautiful poetry, and there's, you know, just a way that people are touched, and that there are all kinds of music, and that not everybody likes all kinds of music, and that's okay, that we all get to like whatever stirs us. And that's one of the great gifts of living. Charles H. Duell, who in 1899 was the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office, they say that he said, nobody can actually prove it, so it's a bit of a legend, but they say that he said, everything that can be invented in 1899 has already been invented. So, you know, as we grow, as we pay attention, I mean, if we just look at nature, we begin to understand that lavishness, you know, that givingness of God, the generosity of spirit itself, and that we live in this realm of unlimited potential. The principle of prosperity is a universal principle, and this is the part of the message I want you to take home. So listen, wake up, everybody. This is the important part. There's this universal principle of prosperity, and it works in every aspect of our lives. It's not just our finances. It includes our gifts. It includes our talents. It includes our kindness. It's this give and take. It's this movement of life. We can surround ourself with more and more stuff, but it will never make us feel completely satisfied. We are only at best temporarily satiated by the stuff we surround ourself with in our homes and in our cars and in our lives, or, you know, the way we decorate our office or whatever it is. Stuff only is going to bring us a certain amount of satisfaction. But life works best when there's a flow, when there's a movement between giving and receiving. It is the law of reciprocal action. There is an energetic that comes with the exchange of things, whether it's kindness or something material, it doesn't matter. But there's an energetic that then becomes a great part of that law of circulation, the movement of life. So I was thinking how, in the same way that we are here this morning sitting in a room with other people, lots of other people are sitting in this room with us right now, you're only going to feel loved if you are participating at an energetic level in that exchange of love. So it's not the people around us that make us feel loved. It is our ability to open our hearts, to intend to have an experience of love, to be loving, to give love, but also to open ourselves to receive love. And there are so many ways we block ourselves from the awareness of the presence of love in our life. And so that's what the law of circulation is about. It is about that energetic movement of life. And it boils down to a simple idea, and that is, who do you really believe you are? And whose business are you really about? This is where it gets really important to think, to ponder, to question, to probe, to be curious about what you wonder about God. God can take it. Don't be afraid. One time I was a young mother, and I embroidered one of my favorite scriptures on a piece of fabric, and then my husband put it in a wooden frame, and I had it for years hanging in our house. I don't know what happened to it. I wish I had it now, because it would mean, it has a whole new meaning to me now. But it was a scripture from Joshua, the 24th chapter and the 15th verse. It says, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord." Choose whom you will serve. As for me, I'm going to stand in spiritual principle. You know, we are a living, breathing, thinking beings. And because we are thinking, we are always choosing. And because our thinking is always choosing, it is always adding either good or taken away from good, depending on what we're thinking. Choose this day whom you will serve. Negative thoughts, fear thoughts, worry thoughts, they deplete our good faster than anything else. And there certainly are things we could all worry about and be concerned about, but problems come and go. You know, I love that somebody once counted, somebody once counted how many times it says in the Bible, "And it came to pass." It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. So we're always in relationship with the conditions in our own life. We are always either standing right here looking at the problem, or we're standing here knowing the solution. But you can't be in two places at one time. You got to choose. And therein lies the value and the beauty of this teaching that we share. When we stray away from the natural laws of the universe, it's like we're stepping out of this natural process of life. And when we do that, it becomes life becomes cumbersome. You know, it's like we're now swimming against the current, the natural current of life. But the moment we stop being against things, we move with the current again. There is a divine current of life. We live in a universe that provides for us. It is a life that is for us, a God that is generous and giving. And when we synchronize our own thoughts to those higher thoughts, then we are aligning ourselves to that beautiful exchange. We get into that movement, that circulation, the law of reciprocity. We get into that movement where we synchronize with the activity of love, of God's love, divine love. We move in that activity of natural healing as we are restored to our wholeness and that way in which the cells in our body desire for us to live in that perfection and that state of well-being. We synchronize ourselves and we begin to see that even the prosperity of our consciousness, the way we think either of limitation or of grander and greater and more possibilities in our life, really makes a difference as to the kind of life that we experience. When we put our full attention on spiritual matters, we are synchronized to truth and to harmony, and we are moving with life and not against it. And then, you know, the craziest thing happens. Then somehow I have these amazing moments of going, oh, wait, I'm not making the law. The law just is. Spiritual principle is just always working just like the law of gravity is always working. I don't make the law work. I don't make the law work. The law is always working. But when I remember that there's a law, a universal spiritual law working for me, that there is a God in this universe that loves me and guides me and directs me and protects me, when I recognize these things, everything changes, and then I no longer pray to God and plead for something to change in my life. I pray to God and convince myself of what I believe about these truths again. Do we or do we not believe that in God all things are possible? I say we do. We absolutely do. So prayer is a way that we acknowledge a process of life that is working. Prayer is a way that we find our place in the divine current, and the only thing we need to do, and this is going to make you feel really good because this is your homework, the only thing we need to do is make a steady effort every day to just remember, to wonder, a little tidbit every day to a time to question, allow your mind to probe or dare to imagine that there's more. When we do this, we are applying laws into our life that help us to transcend what once appeared as a human limitation. So be curious. Be open to possibility. Have a probing mind. And at this time, I would like to call forward the practitioners, and we're going to anchor these ideas in the words of prayer. So just get comfortable where you're seated. Take a nice deep breath. And together we realize that every word spoken this day is a seed of possibility. That there is a sweet, sweet gem here for each of us today to nurture. To till that soil. to compost with all of our rich experience in life. I feel the love of God right here in this room. And I recognize it as the activity of life, the movement of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of all of life. I feel that love of God within me, and I know it is that same essence of love, divine love, that abides at the core of every human being, every living thing. That there is that intelligence in the universe that allows us to feel the sense of flying as we watch a bird soar. There is that beautiful, lavish wastefulness of nature when we look at the numberless leaves on a tree. Or we hold a tiny bit of sand in our hand and try to separate the grains, and we realize yet again the infinitude of life that is good, life that is rich with possibility. This givingness of God that is grace. And so right now we open ourselves to receive. For in that movement, that energetic exchange of giving and receiving, we open ourselves now to just receive the grace of God, to allow that goodness to pour into us as though we were a vessel just here this day to be filled up. And we can sense it rushing to us, pouring, streaming into our lives, transforming our consciousness, shifting our view, so that everything that needs to be done by us this week is done in beauty and grace and effortlessly and with ease. And when there are tasks that need more attention, we are able to provide that attention, because we do not walk alone. And so I feel the love of God, and I rejoice because I know it is that love that is a healing agent in our bodies, that there is a healing going on even in this room, even in this moment now. Someone is healed of that which has ailed them. That this truth ripples out beyond the walls of this room, and that the lives of our loved ones are touched by the words of this prayer. And so wherever we have had a concern for a loved one, we know that that love is activated in their life as well. For there is no place where God is not. And wherever there has been a strain in a relationship, I know that the beauty of forgiveness just rolls easily into this space of allowing us to see goodness, to be open to new possibilities and healed relationships. And wherever there is any appearance of limitation of any kind, I simply know we stand in this truth, in this place of recognizing this prosperity principle of abundance in life. We accept it, we acknowledge it, and I know that this community benefits from that. So I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Infinite Spirit. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. And I just feel that love and that gratitude within me. And I simply release the words of this prayer into that divine law that can only say, yes, my child, yes. And together we say, and so it is. Amen. Amen.